Satnam, welcome to the Bloom into Abundance podcast. My name is Rabindra, and this is my wife, Myra. And we're going to dive right in today. First things first, one thing you're grateful for.
The best sleep ever we had last night.
Yeah, true story. That, and I'm grateful that we got our kids to school on time. Mm-hmm. And that they're happy today. They had a really happy morning.
Yeah, they had a good morning. Yeah. Grateful for that. It's not always that way.
We like to start everything in gratitude, our mornings, our days, our podcast. Mm-hmm. So today we're going to dive into the theme is kind of how to move from victim to victorious. And mm-hmm. it's a full moon in Leo, so it's a perfect time. Like a full moon is a really good time to talk about victory. So in this podcast, we're going to talk about self-awareness, how to take responsibility, how to cast a vision, goal setting and habits. By the end of this podcast, we are going to give you some very tangible formula you can use right away mm-hmm. to get your life into a victorious state. Are you ready?
Let's do this. He used it on me the other day and I was just like,
all right, let's go. So, victim to victorious. So I feel like we all, there's four main personas that we all play in our lives. One is victim, one is villain, another one is hero, and then the transcendent one is guide. So we kind of go through these different personas. And one of the personas that society, culture definitely give us is the victim persona. And this victim persona,
well, it's also kind of made to be so available to fall into it. Like none of it is my problem, or none of it, you know, it's happening to me. I have no input, you know. It's easy to fall into that. Oh, well, it's not my fault. It's almost like this kind of safety net.
If you scan your life, you can say, oh yeah, this area I'm victorious, this area I'm actually maybe not, it's not working out as well. So maybe in that area of my life, there's some victim and energy happening. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely kind of a victim, villain, hero and guide kind of happening in all the areas of our lives. So if there's something you really want to get done in your life, like if you have this one projection of what you want this year to look like, then definitely we need to shift from victim to victorious.
Yeah. And if you don't know where you fall, what category you fall in a particular subject matter or a particular project or how you identify with whatever is in front of you to relate to, what you did with me the other day when we were talking about this really kind of set the perspective of where I fell. And I was falling into villain, and it was kind of, you know, it was difficult for me to swallow, but it was the truth. And sometimes the truth is hard to accept, but it was definitely, I was in the villain. And
so the villain energy is it happens in the moment. And this is what this podcast today is about, is catching mm-hmm. yourself in the moment. So villain is quite often when we shame ourselves. So villain is really us being a villain to ourselves, not mm-hmm. to the outer world particularly, but sometimes it will show up like that. However, if you have this kind of shame attitude towards yourself, like, hey, you know, we missed the first 2 weeks of filming our podcast. You know, I could, in January, because we were just busy moving and getting our kids in school, I could shame myself, or I could just be like, ah, this is the moment where, you know, I noticed that I didn't do something and then I shame myself for it. And mm-hmm. then I put myself in the villain stage, mm-hmm. right? So villain is associated with shame. Victim is associated with guilt. And shame and guilt, you know, I don't know if there's other people of color out there watching this, but or any color, really.
It applies to everybody.
I just know from my experience in a Punjabi Indian, raised in Canada, you know, mm-hmm. Mexican in America.
Yeah.
You know, our parents really were experts
at shaming.
At shaming and at being victim. You know, the victim thing was really big. My mm-hmm. mom, you know, there was a story of how much she worked. And it was an amazing story because she really did work all the time and to get us to where we were. And so we learned at a very early stage a lot about guilt and being a victim. And quite often, why we like being a victim, it's like, why would someone want to be a victim? Is quite often it's you know, it gets you attention. You know, there's a reward for being a victim.
And that attention gives you a dopamine hit.
Yeah. So the dopamine is what we're after, right? So we have to redesign things, we have to like really let the subconscious know that, hey, there's a place in our lives, there's a way to be where there's way more reward, way more dopamine.
Yeah.
If you want the dopamine, we got it in the hero state.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, victim, we see it in our kids, you know, sometimes our son, you know, when he's feeling like a victim, like, oh, nobody wants to play with me in school today. It's really like, he's telling us he wants nurturing, mm-hmm. you know, and he's telling us he wants a hug, that he wants daddy to put his phone down, mommy to put the computer down, to nurture mm-hmm. him in that moment. Then you learn a lot about yourself through your kids, right?
Exactly. And we're so quick to just like push independence, but let that independence happen outside the home. When they're in their home, in your home, in like their safe space, that's when, like, in our experience, that's where they feel the most liberated to be themselves fully. So when those moments are being expressed, you know, it's your opportunity to embrace, to hold for longer periods, because eventually, you know, they're going to push away and they're going to be gone, you know? So
another way hero or victim mentality shows up is when we're using emotions mm-hmm. to control reality a little bit more, you know? So you see it in our kids all the time. Or maybe sometimes my wife, she's pointing at herself. I'm not going to call anything out. You can say whatever you like.
My mom was a very much a role model of that behavior. And I see it. I can see it. I can, like, you know, the beauty of having a practice, or, you know, developing a practice, relating to a practice, is that you get to see that when it wants to come through. So I've been seeing how, like, you know, my emotions wants to.
Yeah. So kids do it all the time where they cry and they want you to, you know, they want, number one, attention. Number two, they want your nurturing, you know, and the same thing with us, you know. So we use emotions to try to, oh my God, you know, like, I know a lot, my victim state was a lot in my 20s, you know, my best friend had committed suicide, and that was a kind of my big crack in the shell. That's really what cracked me open. And I was definitely in a victim state for a long time until I pulled myself out and, you know, I was shaming myself. There was a lot of that heavy energy, and it took a long time to kind of pull myself out and be the light for my own life, to choose that, hey, I believe that I can do better. I believe that, you know, that experience in my life set me up to support and guide others in living a life of light, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not, you know, of the light, but we love, you know, we love to lean towards the light. So please don't, you know, don't think that high and mighty, we have our defaults as well.
Yeah. So, what we're talking about here with victim is a mindset. Mm-hmm. A mindset is just more clearly defined, like the way you see life, right? Or your view on life, right? And your view on life includes like your bank statement, includes your bills, what you have to do, your to-do list. It includes your upbringing. It includes all the things in your life. So you see life through this lens, right? Ultimately, how you see the world is your mindset. So what we're talking about here is shifting your mindset to be victorious. And mm-hmm. And trust me, there is a wonderful, wonderful life when you move from victim to hero. You know, there's way more, number one, way more reward, way more dopamine, if that's what we're after. Yeah. Being a hero is about conquering your life.
Yeah, you can also, you know, explore the, you know, the story of the hero's journey. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a great story in terms of helping navigate that direction.
Yeah, Joseph Campbell's created this beautiful hero's journey where there's, you know, there's the fall, and then, you know, you go through the victim stage and you come up mm-hmm. and you become the hero of your own story.
Yeah. And there's also kind of, you know, for the women who, you know, don't necessarily, you know, want an author that is the feminine author, there's a really beautiful book called Maiden to Mother, which speaks about these different layers of the feminine aspects in relation to, you know, victim and, you know, villain and heroine and then medicine woman, which mm-hmm. is really beautiful. It's called Maiden to Mother.
Mm-hmm. And for me, the big shift, the big aha moment from moving from a victim to being a hero of my life was when I found meaning in life, when I started to think about my dharma, when I started to think about my calling and how I impact others. Even just like, we're just in so surprised, like Myra was at the shop the other day and a woman walked in from another country visiting. Yeah. And
Kiara.
Kiara, if you're watching.
With her daughter.
And
shout out.
And she mentioned to Myra that she watched this podcast and she was inspired. And we're just like, wow, we're already impacting people through this medium, which we're just so honored and grateful that you're here.
Yeah. That it's landing in your life, you know, like a lot of these teachings, it's really so that you have whatever practice you're in, you know, with in relationship with, and to have kind of your life meet your practice or your practice meet your life.
Yeah. So the two things, one was I was looking for meaning, because you get to this low point and you're like, okay, what is this all about? Why am I here? You know? And so for me, I figured, you know, it just, I kept doing the same patterns over and over again, no matter what. I was always in the world of trying to inspire others, always trying to help others. I never wanted anyone to go through what I went through in that state. So I was always about helping others bloom. So people are blooming is what kind of, I realized that no matter what, I started a festival with Myra called Bloom, and we started inspiring people to live and design a life that they love. And that's what this podcast is all about, right? Mm-hmm. And so being a hero is about turning the light on. It's about giving life a try. And ultimately, the big shift, the big turnaround is taking 100% responsibility.
Which is difficult to swallow, you know, to be, you know, able to respond, you know, not react, you know, if you take the word responsibility to, you know.
Yeah. So when you take 100% agency of your life, like, oh, the market is crash, or it's low season or high season or COVID or whatever this comes up in the collective and in the personal space, if you can just say, okay, yeah, this is what's happened. I own my part in it, and I'm responsible for it, and I just keep going. You know, people love, the world loves people who just try, the people who are just going no matter what. You know what I mean? You don't even have to win to be a hero. You just have to try.
You just have to just continue to be and oscillate between doing and being.
And being a Capricorn, the sea goat, I really relate to the hero. You know, you can see that.
Yeah.
I just take the littlest step and I'm stoked about that little step. And then I take the littlest step and I'm so stoked about every little step along the way.
Yeah.
Keeps me in that hero state.
I sometimes come in as the villain and I'm like, yeah, but what about... You know, so, but it's that duality, you know, it's perspective. It's, you know, it's not so much as the villain, but more so as like, you know, I'm a realist in many ways. And I like to come in and be like prepared. And that's where my Shane comes in, right? Because of like, you know, perfectionist, and it needs to be perfect because I needed to be perfect.
Okay. And then we take responsibility for that. And then we take action. And that's really what heroes do, is heroes take action, right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, even with this podcast itself, like we have booked a weekly session to do it. You know, and just like that, you have something in your life, you want to move forward, you want to be a hero in your taxes, in your personal life, in your business, in writing a book and launching a course, all those things, you need to simply
be responsible.
Be responsible. Book time every day, every week.
Make
to
space.
Do it and do it. And just like what we're doing with the podcast, like it's like, wow, we're on episode, what is this? Episode 5, 6? I don't even know. I lost count already.
Yeah, but it's great. It's great to just be in this unfolding of, you know, what is possible, you know, the possibility of more positivity in your life. And you have to pencil it in, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, if you have the mindset that, you know, the world is a dark place, we kind of create the self-fulfilling prophecy and we keep looking for that. Mm-hmm. But what if the world was actually awakening? What if the world was stepping into this age of Aquarius? Like Pluto just entered Aquarius, marking the age of Aquarius, which is a beautiful time for the planet, for humanity.
It's, yeah, it's liberation. It's the theme in and of itself is victory. It's full on victory.
Yeah. So let's get into that. So, you know, it's full moon and we wanted to talk about victory because, I mean, what better time to talk about victory than during a full moon?
Yeah. And the moon is in Leo, and Leo is courageous. It's the lion heart. It's, you know, definitely holds this kind of ignition to fire up your life into victory. I mean, the lion isn't a villain, and the lion is also not a victim. The lion is a hero. You know, he holds his domain. He holds the kingdom. She holds the domain of her, you know, Lion King, you know. So it's all of that archetype.
Yeah. So resonance. Leo, the lion, everything during a full moon is magnified. So during the full moon,
I mean, she's full and she's in your face.
we like to focus on the vision. Right. So vision is a key to permanently, not just kind of going between victim and hero and villain, but to permanently stay in a hero and then move ultimately to the guide, the oracle of your life, is to have a vision for your life. Right. So we start to see the importance of catching yourself moment to moment. Ah, I see that this is happening and I'm acting like a victim. I'm going to catch it, stop it, not judge it. And I'm going to take the next best step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then we make goals that are wrapped around a vision, right? So for example, I will just make it more clear for you. So for example, we have a goal of building our home this year. And just the other night, me and Myra, you know, it's a beautiful goal. However, to make it a vision makes it even more powerful. So we started to unpack what it looked like. So we started to say, whoa, this is actually more than a home. This is a retreat center. This is a place where families are going to come. Women are going to come when they're pregnant to heal, to get guidance. People are going to come and learn entrepreneurship. We're building a little mini yoga studio. So this is going to be a place where people come to heal. Mm-hmm. So the goal becomes a vision and it becomes bigger and more grander.
Bigger,
it includes others, right? That's a big, big part of the puzzle.
And in that space that we make, we give that, you know, the entity of that vision to commune with you as well, because the vision is going to incept what it wants to reveal to you of what it's going to move into, which is beautiful. And that's what it does. That's what it did. That's where, you know, that's the insight that came out of that.
Yeah. So, you know, act one is like, what does it take to experience meaning in my life? So moving from victim to hero. Act two is to make a plan and to own it, which is moving from hero to guide, right? Mm-hmm. And when we do that, again, it's really wrapping around the vision piece of our lives, right? Let's dive a little bit further into this full moon. Can you tell us more? Like,
well, it's, you know, it's a lot of cosmic alignments are happening. I mean, I'm sure you've all are caught up with Instagram's, like, you know, saturation on these aspects, but only because it is a big deal and we're talking about it because it is a big shift.
It's the first full moon of the year.
First full moon of the year. It's, you know, the biggest shift that Pluto's going to make. Pluto takes about 248, you know, years to move through the zodiac. So now it's moving from Pisces into Aquarius, and it's this whole experience of from Capricorn into Aquarius, and it's this, you know, confirmation that where we're going as you know, the collective consciousness is that we're leaning towards, you know, the unexpected, you know, and some of us may perceive this preparation for the unknown, for the unexpected, you know, revelations and confirmations and, you know, things that we could have never conceptualized before. But now the proof is in the pudding. I mean, I know that you know that you've seen it all. so we won't get into detail, but it's this grand revelation, you know? And in this revelation, there is this discernment of revolutions and solutions as options and pathways.
Yeah. So, you know, the sun, that's interesting here is that the sun is in Aquarius. Sun is moving into Aquarius at 5 degrees. Pluto is moving into Aquarius right now as well. Pluto brings this underworld into our lives.
Yeah.
It shows the dark so that it can be revealed, shows the truth so it can be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of things in the collective, right, that will trigger us.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that Pluto is in Aquarius and knowing that the collective is going to be triggering, we need to find ways to stay in our heart center. And full moon Leo is all about, Leo is man governing the heart, right?
Yeah, it's about your true self. You know, it's when the heart is in full balance and alignment, you know, it will not waver. It will not steer you in the wrong direction. And it's embodied, it's internal, it's felt, it's so inner resources.
We cannot step out of our bedroom, our telephones. There's nothing that you cannot do to avoid. There's not, I mean, the collective is in turmoil. It's U.S. Election year.
Yeah.
Again, last time Pluto was in Aquarius, the American Revolution, the French Revolution. This was in the 1700s.
Big
things are happening
down,
in the collective. Yeah. So we're going to be constantly triggered by the collective. So then our superpower, the thing we have to focus on, is catching ourselves in the moment and bringing ourselves back to hero. I am victorious.
Yeah. And there's also another aspect to this lunation is that, you know, Jupiter is creating a T-square to the sun and moon. And T-squares are generally challenging times. They're, you know, in the sense that it's a pressurized moment, right? But you want to leverage the positive aspect. Mm-hmm. You know, Jupiter is expansion. It's joy, you know, Jupiter joy. It's you know, it's in and of itself, it's also this liberation because it's ruled by Sagittarius. Sagittarius is another fire sign. Leo is a fire sign ruled by the sun that is a fireball, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, when you're in the hero state and a challenge arrives, you're like, give it to me. You're like, go for it.
You're ready.
What's that movie that that Soleil loves right now? The Monkey King?
Oh yeah, The Monkey King.
Have you guys seen this Monkey King on
Netflix? It's on Netflix.
It's hilarious. It's a cartoon. If you have kids, you probably have watched it. If you haven't, it's a really good archetype.
Watch it before you let your child watch it, just because there might be some things that they might not be prepared to see.
Could be more mature than whatnot. For our kids like mature things. However, The Monkey King faces the most challenging of things. You know, he wants to become immortal, and to become immortal, he has to fight all the gods and the most impossible odds. Yet he takes every challenge on with such a smile and such vigor. It is the archetype of hero. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. He's just tenacious, you know, and
people love heroes. The world loves heroes. The goddess Lakshmi loves heroes, and goddess of abundance loves action, loves people that take action.
Yeah.
You know, so,
and this is a very, you know, bountiful time, very affluent, very, you know, abundance generated. So in during full moons, we like to talk about culminations, you know, to have that gratitude, to be grateful for what already is and is to come. Mm-hmm. You know, so within that vision, you hold a sense of gratitude for already embodying this vision.
Yeah. And so, okay. So, wow. So, and then also there's the 5 degrees.
We're inspired by our own inspiration.
Yeah. It's like a quadruple 5 code unloaded, which is all about freedom.
And 5 is kind of this universal number, universal code of liberation, which again confirms this victorious notion. And you kind of take the archetype of 5, it's like both kind of directions going in opposite sides. So it's also change. It's also, you know, not necessarily crossroads, but just like having options, you know, and discerning those options.
So the word victory, we hear it a lot in the Kundalini yoga practice. It's we talk about it a lot. There's victory kriyas, I'm victorious, you know.
Yeah.
There's victory breaths, there's victory, all of it.
Sets,
can you dive into that a bit?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a simple victory practice that you can take on, and that's whenever you find a moment when you're waiting in line, where you're in your car, sitting in the traffic, or you are having anxiety about a meeting, or, you know, presenting your project to someone that's a gatekeeper, or wherever you are in the spectrum of your trajectory of where you want to be, and you have this sense of anxiety, to move the anxiety into the ancient wisdom of yourself, which is to use the method of the victory breath. And the victory breath, this is one, there is many, there's like probably over 100 in the archives, but this one that we like to use is to, you know, wherever you're at, you don't need to like pull up a mat or anything like this. You just take an inhale and you hold the breath and you pump your navel. Your navel point is like this power center. You pump it, pump it, pump it, pump it. And for every pump, your inner mind's voice is chanting victory, victory, victory. And you do that for as long as it takes. Ideally, you want to do it for, you know, 11 recitations. If you can get 108 recitations, phenomenal. You know, not in one breath retention, but, you know, in those a compound of, you know, reciting that as much as you can, right? And you can even reduce it to just a minute, right? You can do it for a minute, which would probably be like two or three breaths, or you could do it for 3 minutes, you know, which multiplies your inner resources to vibrate into that victorious frequency. And word on the street, I know that you know, is leaning towards, you know, the future is frequency, right? We have all these gadgets that are floating around and these pyramid things that are floating around that's already really promoting the sense of frequency as the new trajectory of the human, you know, consciousness. And you have this inner device, this human vessel that is the technology of the future, right? If you can truly, authentically, genuinely, with passion and heart and courage, utilize your inner resources, you become a living, walking frequency, right? And you have to do that. It's a discipline. And it's, again, going back to responsibility. I am responsible for the frequency that I carry. This vessel is trying to be, you know, manipulated and reproduced on a global scale because it's so intelligent. So if we can utilize without outsourcing, I mean, if you've already outsourced, good for you. I'm sure it's working for you. But, you know, you have also the opportunity that that technology is inside of you. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's such a gift to be able to utilize that and take that, you know, practice of chanting victory, pumping the navel, awakening that, you know, manipura, you know, for second and third chakra, so that then it becomes the whole, you know, geometric astro anatomy that you start to walk with. Which
but quite simply, to break it down, victory in Kundalini Yoga happens in the pranayama.
It happens in the pranayama.
How
yeah.
we breathe. So how are we breathing?
And the again, the mantra, you know, the vibrational sound that reverberates through your system, you know, just by focusing on that. Because once you're doing that and pumping the navel, maybe there's some thoughts that filter through, but, you know, you also have this direction.
Great.
You know?
So to bring it down into the present moment, make it really practical, what we do...
Can you tell? Vata, kapha?
What we do is, in the moment to moment, we catch ourselves when we are thinking like a victim. So we're like, hey, number one thing we do, the number one thing about all of this is becoming self-aware. We do Kundalini yoga, we do whatever practices we do, whatever mindful practices you do. It's all about self-awareness. Like, hey, when this happens, I react like this. When that happens, you react like this. We become quite aware of our children and how they react to certain things. Oh, don't put them there. It's going to act like this, but don't put them in too warm of a room. They're too sensitive, you know, all these things. Mm-hmm. But in the self-awareness, in our own self-awareness, is where the magic starts to happen. Mm-hmm. So number one, self-awareness. Make notes about yourself. Like, oh, I react like this when this happens, you know, this mm-hmm. really triggered me. And in the moment, say, hey, you're doing the thing where you're acting like a victim. And don't go any further. Don't judge it. Just stop in your moment and reset. And mm-hmm. what does the hero do in this moment, right? And then over time, as we become more and more self-aware of how we're becoming victim, our behaviors begin to shift into this hero state that I'm victorious. And we choose that. We choose that. I want to be victorious. I mean, nobody would not wants to be that, right? There's way more dopamine, way more reward in the hero space than in the victim space, right?
You get a lot more done. You know, you get a lot in that victory state. Your return on investment is...
It's amazing.
It's magnificent.
So now that you've stabilized yourself through self-awareness, now we take a moment and we cast a vision. You know, casting a vision, we have a vision for... We have a three-month vision because we're doing the 12-week year. So mm-hmm. we have a three-month vision. We have a one-year vision. We have... a 3-year vision, we have a 5-year vision, and a 10-year vision. And we kind of start with the 10 and we work our way back. And if you want to go deep into casting a vision, you write your own eulogy. Like, this is what you did in your life, right?
That's deep.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's casting a vision. But mm-hmm. we can just start with like the 5, 3, 2, 1 kind of visions. Start to cast a vision for your life. Start to dive into why, you know, look at the patterns of, become self-aware of, oh, wow, like everything I do is all about helping other people in mm-hmm. this way. And so start to put a word or a name to it. Start naming your Dharma. Start calling it out. And that's the work that we're going to be doing in Bloom Into Abundance, the membership that we're starting together, is mm-hmm. to help you get really clear on what that Dharma is.
Yeah. There was also a woman that came into the shop the other day, kind of a friendly acquaintance. And she was saying, you know, she was so proud of what we had accomplished in Bali in the short amount of time that we've been here. And she was like, wow, I need to find like what my calling is, you know, and it, you know, it almost felt like, oh, I have to, you know, I have to do it, you know, and in that having to do it, there was no drive really, or like passion to, you know, find her calling in a sense, because it felt like she needed to just be doing something, you know, because everybody's doing something. And in that moment, I kind of paused her and I was like, just focus on being for now, you know?
Yeah, that's the first step, self-awareness, yeah. Being, behavior shifts. Mm-hmm. Then you have the space.
Yeah, then you have the space to the...
cast a vision.
Yeah.
And then within the vision, we create goals. So we create goals within the vision, and then we ultimately work on the discipline to execute the habits that make the vision come true, right? So, for example, we're being disciplined with filming the podcast, right, weekly.
Yeah.
If you were writing a book, the discipline would be, okay, 7 a.m. every day I'm going to go to this coffee shop and write for 1 hour. And if you did that for 3 months, guess what? You probably have a book written in 3 months. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So whatever you have going on, whatever project you have going on in your life, whatever the most important, most impactful, most creative, whatever it is you want to get done, then set the goal and then have the discipline to execute on those. So our goal then is to move from self-awareness, casting a vision, and then developing the habits that we need to execute on that, right? So the mm-hmm. habits are, okay, I'm going to make a habit of going again to this workspace, and you know, I'm going to work on our course program once a week for 3 hours a week on this day, and just stick to it. Even if you pick one day a week and go for it, you know, mm-hmm. like one power hour, like we talked about last time.
Yeah.
Even a week, you're going to be really progressing, and you're going to start to feel like the real hero in your life.
Mm-hmm. One of the habits that I know that I just like to do my work on my phone half the time. And so I need to sometimes leave my phone at home, yeah. You know, just so that I change the habit, you know, and I actually make space to work so that I'm not working when I'm, you know, waiting to meet a friend, or when I'm at the shop and like waiting to go into our staff meeting, or, you know, those kinds of things where it's like, oh, I need to fill time, where I could just actually create space to just be and focus on what's in front.
So what's one habit that you could add to your life that you do every day that would move the needle?
It definitely creates space to physically move, like to work out.
Okay, so 1 hour a day to work out?
1 hour a day. I mean, maybe not a day, but, you know, twice, three times a week.
Okay, 3 times a week.
That
you guys
seems
heard
reasonable.
It right here.
Hold me accountable.
Next week, she's going to be wearing her workout clothes because we're going to be going right to the gym after this. But that's really it. Just calling yourself out in not
of course,
a shameful way.
Yeah, and there is resistance to the things that take a lot of effort to get you there, right? But there's a teaching in that too. You know, one of our beautiful friends and, you know, assistant, she was like, you know, I had to go to this breath work exercise and I didn't want to go. My body didn't want to go, but I knew that I had to go. And she's like, and when I got there, thank goodness the woman, you know, didn't have another appointment, but she was like, thank you for coming. Thank you for making the effort to come. And in that moment, she was like, it was hard, but it was so worth it, you know? And yeah, the
so we got to bring
the reward
all
is
of
dope.
This full moon, Pluto, Aquarius into the moment,
mm-hmm.
decide, you know, on the habits that we're going to do every day to reach us, to get our goals, and to the goals that kind of get us to our vision, right?
Yeah.
And you have all that in alignment, And if you add your calling, like your why, into the whole picture, there's no way you're not going to move from victim to hero. And then moving from hero to guide is the next shift, you know? Yeah. So that next shift is like kind of what we're doing here, is we're kind of guiding, because we found a way, we found a path, and we're guiding those who want to follow and figure it out as well. So, and we do that for a sense of meaning, a sense of giving back. It's really fulfilling. So we go from victim to villain to hero to guide, the oracle.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. I mean, you know, take it in bits and pieces. You know, it's a big cake to digest, but. Yeah. You know, and it doesn't have to be all of it right away. You know, sometimes we need to sit a bit longer with the clarity as to our why. I know my why for going to the gym and needing to move my body is that it makes me a better person to be around.
It makes you less shameful about yourself.
Yeah, less shameful,
less guilt.
It doesn't make me feel like I get to move all of my system. And it makes me a better mom. I'm not so quick to react. You know, I'm more responsible to my responses, and I have more prana, I have more vitality, I have more strength, I have more courage.
All right, so we'll both be in our workout gear next time.
Sweat sets.
That being said, full moon in Leo, uplift your spirit. We're going to be going to an ecstatic dance class with our friend Kelly.
On Sunday.
Oh my God.
We haven't been in one of those for probably the longest. Yeah. I remember when we first got to Bali, we like showed up with like Hero is 4 months. Our daughter's
two kids,
Soleil.
And it was just all these adults dancing.
There were some kids, but like, you know, between Hero and like a older, right? Like maybe like 8 or 9 at the time. But it was just, it was cool, but we were overly stimulated at the time.
Yeah.
We were like,
so do something weird that makes you happy and fun, and really amplify the fun in your life this week. Full moons are all about that. Uplift your spirit and watch everything move. Yeah.
Yeah, stay in the love. Venus is also doing a beautiful aspect. So just kind of, you know, romance yourself, you know, be in your own romance and nourishment and nurturing. And if you are calling in your beloved, you know, cast a vision and be proactive. You know,
show up at that dance class.
Show up at that dance class.
Okay, so,
This was good. I feel good about this.
Thank you, everyone.
I'll be teaching also a live workshop with Lifekick if you want to drop in. We're going to get more into like the physical, practical matters of how to utilize and leverage the energy in the cosmic field. So, if you want to join,
right.
Satnam.